Continuing our series on All Your Things, A More Excellent Way. A More Excellent Way. If you would, turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. We'll continue with this. We will not get through 1 Corinthians 13 tonight. Hopefully we can finish that part of looking at charity next week. But again, our opening text last week was 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 and 14. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong, let all your things be done with charity. We defined charity last week, okay, from the Greek New Testament, exhaustive concordance. It's love, affection, benevolence, a disposition to do good, goodwill, kindness, love of mankind accompanied with a desire to promote their happiness. Webster's 1828 Dictionary. In a general sense, love, benevolence, goodwill, that disposition of heart which inclines men to think favorably of their fellow men and to do them good. In a theological sense, it includes supreme love to God and universal goodwill to men. And I gave you some scripture verses on that last week, and I gave you the Legault definition of charity, and that's the love of God flowing through the believer to others. And told you last week, charity is a New Testament word. It's not a substitute for, it's not just a substitute word for love. It's more than that. I'm not going over that. But again, also the law first mentioned, it is only in the New Testament you find charity. And in 1 Corinthians 8:1, it says, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up. That'll come around a little bit to what we speak tonight. But charity edifieth. Charity edifieth. And we looked at 1 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 3. And again, knowledge puffs up, makes you think you're smarter than everybody else, but charity builds up. And we spent time looking at that. And you have your own knowledge, you say, look at me. When you try to help someone else to gain knowledge, not just knowledge, but understanding, then you can help them. Okay? And I gave you a biblical example of Apollos and Aquila with Aquila and Priscilla. And we spent time on that. And then we got to the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And it talked about in verse 29, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts, yet I show unto you a more what? Excellent way. And we started with that. And we looked at 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. And that's where we'll stop with the reading of 1 Corinthians 13 tonight. And again, we spent time looking at each of those. And in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 1, I slammed covers together and it was loud. And Joe didn't throw a knife at me, so he still loves me, I believe. But it got loud, okay? With that, because if you don't have charity, it's like clang, 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 all right? It's no value, just noise. Okay, so you can think you're something. You can speak with the tongues of men and angels. It's just noise. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 2, it talks about having the gift of prophecy, understanding all mysteries, all knowledge, all faith. You could remove mountains and have not charity. It says you are nothing. Okay? When a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. The best attitude you can have in your Christian life is that God is everything and I am nothing. Okay. And you need to understand that. If you want God's love to flow through you to someone else, Jesus has to be high and lifted up, not you. Amen? So we spent time on that. I am nothing. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 3, it says, though I give away everything to feed the poor, basically, and I give my body to be burned. We talked about how that is done in religious practices around this world still today, and have not charity, it profits me. You don't gain from it. You don't gain when the love of God is not there. The world may think you gain something, because I said it's the love of God flowing through you to someone else, to other people. The world tries to tell you, you have to love yourself and elevate yourself in your own mind before you can love someone else. You know what the problem will be? When you have to elevate yourself to love yourself, when other people don't love you like you think you deserve, you end up having problems. Love is something that should be given. If it's required, is it really love? No. Okay, so it profiteth me nothing. You don't gain. And we spent time looking at that. We continued on and finished up with 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4, where it says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And we spent some time looking at that. We went to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 through 32, that I just quoted to you. Okay, and you know, when you don't think you can put up with it any longer, go back to the first point. Charity suffereth long and is kind. And that brings us to tonight. And we're going to continue with 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And tonight, in verse 4, we continue when it says, we looked at charity suffereth long and is kind last week. Now it says, charity envieth not. Do you know the word, form of the word envy appears 27 times in your Bible? 27 times in an authorized 1611 King James Bible. It was for envy that the religious leaders sent Jesus to the Roman governor. They envied that the people were looking to him, and he said, if we let him live, we're going to lose our what? Our place, basically their station as the upper people there, because a religious government. He was delivered unto Pilate by the religious leaders because of envy. There is no good connotation of envy in the scriptures. Envy is the Legault definition. Jealousy in the extreme. People can be jealous. You can be jealous of someone. I turned around and said, boy, I'm jealous of that car you got there. That's a nice car. But I'm not so jealous that I'm letting it take me to ill thoughts towards those people. You know, everybody, we look at it, you know, and the church helped me buy or paid for an electric golf cart. I firmly think that Walter's a little jealous of that golf cart. Because he can travel back and forth. We can travel. Okay? You know, it's something you might like or whatever. You know, when you're jealous, you're looking at, they have something I don't have. But you know what it comes down to? When your heart's right, it doesn't have to be wrong. Because in the scriptures, it talks about somebody being jealous over the gospel and over Jesus Christ. Envy is jealousy to the extreme. It means to feel uneasy, discontent in the sight of the superior excellence, the superior reputation or happiness enjoyed by another person. Superior means they have something you don't have. And what it does is it grieves your heart about it and can lead you to hate them on that account. That is what it means by envy. Second definition was to grudge. You ever held a grudge against somebody? That's not of God. Because God forgives. And we ought to too. To grudge, to withhold. Okay? And it says to withhold maliciously. You're not giving something that could be helpful to them because you have malice in your heart towards them. Envy and malice is tied together. And it tells us that charity envieth not. You cannot have the love of God flow through your heart to reach someone else if you're envious and you're struggling with your flesh. Because you're tempted not to do well to them, you're tempted to either withhold or do bad to them. God has no evil intent towards the child of God. Do you know God is righteous in his anger? God is righteous in his wrath. But my Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. When I was growing up, yeah, I did grow up at one point. I wasn't always this big. I was bigger than my kindergarten teacher, but she was only 4'5", and I was 4'8". I was bigger than every teacher except one named Mrs. Chafee, and she came from the island of Amazon. That lady was 6'1½". She's taller than my sisters, and I've got 6-foot sisters, okay? And she was what, second grade, I believe, second grade teacher. And you used to look at her, and she's the only teacher I ever was really afraid of. Okay, I had a teacher who sprained her arm, slapped me across the face, but I wasn't afraid of her, all right? But you turn around with this, and you have these different things that go on. We had a neighbor. I was just a little kid. Lived across the street from my mom and I, my dad, my family home down at the north end of Fairhaven. And there was a neighbor next to them who had a little bit more lawn, a little bit more land, a little bit nicer house, and who also happened to be miserable. And a family moved into a lesser house across the street from my mom and dad. And my mom had been trying to reach out to them. My mother was known as the mother of the north end of Fairhaven. 250 people came to her 80th birthday party, and they all called her mom. All right? And this young lady had worked as a waitress underneath my mother for a lot of years when she was a teen, and then they come back around. And that lady got upset one day because her dog, the young lady's dog, pooped on the Better Off family's lawn. And she came over to my mother's house all upset. My mom's calmed her down. She said, "Don't worry, honey. Poop happens." And she says, "It's going to be nothing. Just go clean it up and apologize. Don't get to their level." And the woman said, "I hate them so much, I wish he would die." You know what happened that night? He died. The next day, she's crying at my mother's house, saying, "Did I kill him? I was so foolish. I looked at what he had and we didn't have, and he didn't appreciate it. And now I can't deal with that." Envy will get you. Envy costs the people you have envy against, and it will always cost you. And charity envieth not. It says, charity vaunteth not itself. Definition of vaunt, okay? Is that a word we use all the time? Especially young people today. If you read your King James Bible, you're going to have... When the Bible came out, 1611, do you know that the Bible was considered to be the language of a sixth grader? Do you know, when I was growing up, it was considered to be the language of a 12th grader? And now with young kids in this church today, it is considered second semester, junior year of college. And they still don't know what those words mean. We have not gotten smarter in communication. And we have not gotten smarter in knowing what God says. To grudge, withhold maliciously. Proverbs 3 and verse 31 says, envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. People get envious. You know what they do? They start trying to mimic some of the things other people do. Proverbs 14 and verse 30. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. You are a three-part being. Spirit, soul, and body. And envy comes out of the soul, and it affects your spiritual relationship with your Savior and your Heavenly Father. Because if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Believer, don't you want your prayers to be heard and answered? And it can physically make you sick. It'll churn your guts up and cause physical illness. Proverbs 27, verse 4, wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? That's saying envy is worse than extreme anger, that wrath. Turn to James chapter 4. Coming back to 1 Corinthians 13. Now you know why I said it's going to take a while to get through charity. James chapter 4. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, James chapter 4, verse 2, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that you may consume it upon who? Your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity? That's bitter hatred, okay? Friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to what? Envy. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's the spirit of man. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. And it goes right on and talks about how you deal with spiritual warfare with the devil and how to resist him. Envy will put you in a place where you're more open to the spiritual attack of the enemies of your spirit and your soul. Charity and envy are opposite ends of the spectrum. One is all flesh, and one is all God. So envieth not. The other passage, it says that the love of money is the root of all evil. If you don't need to turn there, but in 1 Timothy 6, verses 1 through 10, for the sake of time, I won't turn there. But in verse 4, the second half of the verse, it says, when it talks about those things and wanting things, it says, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men, corrupt minds, and destitute of truth. Charity envieth not. You rejoice with what someone else has, whether it be greater intelligence, whether it be greater possessions, whether it be anything greater than what you have. You rejoice with those who rejoice, and you weep with those who weep. I spent time at the hospital weeping and rejoicing with the family of Kurt Niemeyer yesterday. Pastor Kinney was in one hospital, I was in the other hospital, and we were trying to cut things down in time. He was able to spend good quality time with Pastor Stewart, and I was able to spend good quality time helping that family gain assurance, helping them understand that grief is normal, helping them to know that they know that that man was saved, and when he left his body, his soul was in glory, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Rejoice with them. Weep with them. That's what charity does. It goes on here and it says, in the same verse, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Vaunteth not itself, to boast, to make vain display of one's own worth. That's to brag. To make a vain display. It goes along with being puffed up. When you vaunteth not yourself, you're the one who tells you. When people got to tell you all the things that they are and that they do, that's not charity. You understand me? When you turn around and you feel like, I thank God that I'm not as other men, I tithe of all I have. I pray three times a day. The religious leaders of Jesus' day. God's not in that. God's not in that. Puffed up. That means to be arrogant, blown up, swelled with air, inflated with vanity and pride. Charity is not puffed up. You can be confident without being arrogant. Okay? If you always speak the truth in love. Amen? Not puffed up. It goes on and it says in that verse, next verse, it says, doth not, verse 5, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Doth not behave itself unseemly. We don't use that word a lot today, do we? It means to act indecently, unbecoming. Okay, it's not attractive behavior. It's acting improperly. Charity's God's love does not act improperly towards another. It goes, seeketh not her own. That means it's not about you, idiot. I mean, sorry, that wasn't with charity. It's not about you. It's about him. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw men unto me. Not self-centered, not selfish. Not looking and saying, okay, I'm going to beat the other kids to the last cookie. Seeketh not her own. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 24 says, let no man seeketh his own wealth, but every man another's wealth. Turn to 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10, just a couple pages back. Look at the end of that chapter. Verse 31 says, wherefore, Whether, therefore, ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of who? Verse 31. God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in what? Not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they might be saved. Profit of many, that they might be saved. First Corinthians 13. I'm not trying to finish the chapter, I promise. 1 Corinthians 13. Charity, you see, that does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily what? Provoked. I can't help it. There's a lot of people bigger than me now. I've met some of them, taller. They're bigger, faster, stronger. I'm just meaner. All right. Not easily provoked. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 9 says, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. I, as a child, had what you called a short fuse. It had something to do with six sisters, five of them older than me, beating on me. My brother had gone into the Air Force, and I was left to fend my own until I got bigger than them. And I'd lose my temper. And when I lose my temper, man, I got in trouble because I got mad at my sisters and I couldn't hit them. So I put my fist through the plaster and lath upstairs and came out the plaster and lath in their bedroom. All right? My anger had me this place. I can't remember if I told this here or not. I carried a pocket knife around. No, I talked to my sisters, wasn't it? They laughing at me when they came to visit Judy here. We had a good time together. I had a pocket knife. My first year I had one. 7 years old. Big guy carrying a knife. The Boy Scout knife. It had one blade and then a screwdriver blade and then an awl blade. And my dad got that for me. And he says, now you got to prove you're old enough to keep it. And I lost my temper at my sister, who I was the closest to. She was only a year older than me. She paid for all our Christmases because we came together to buy presents. And I got mad at her, and I pulled out that knife, and I had a hold of her shirt, and I said, I'm going to cut you with this. Because I lost my temper. And my mother was in a room with the window open and the shades down and heard everything that I said. So you know what I ended up doing? I got a timeout from my mother. And then my father came home. You know how that works? And when she explained to him what I had done, I got a much longer, most vigorous timeout from my father. And then he took my knife, he went in the basement, he stuck the first blade into the vise, and snapped it off with a hammer so there was no blade sticking out of the knife. He stuck the screwdriver blade in the vise, snapped it off with a hammer so there was no screwdriver blade. He stuck the awl in the arms of the room, my knife, what are you doing? And he snapped that off and he handed it back to me and he says, now I want that in your pocket for the next year. And if I come up to you and I ask for that knife and it's not in your pocket, I get another vigorous timeout. All because I was easily provoked. And I fought it my whole life. I fought it my whole life. It wasn't until God came into my life, started giving me victory over that. The Bible says, have no dealings with an angry man. He calls me into ministry. You know how that would have been? I've seen pastors who drive people away because they're easily provoked. I used to have a fuse that long. Now my wife likes torturing me. She has our whole marriage. We got saved early in our marriage. To see about that. And she goes, "You're not upset, aren't you, honey?"
No.
One more and we're done. Charity thinketh no evil. Do you see that? Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. You know what that means? Not going to the negative with other people with your thoughts. 2 Corinthians 5, and we'll be done for tonight. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all were dead. Then we're all dead. And that he died for all, they that which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of, what? Reconciliation, to the wit that God was in Christ, reconciled the world unto himself, not, and look at that next word, imputing their trespasses unto them. To impute means to put it on them. Okay? Imputing their trespasses unto them and committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You know what I love about being saved? Jesus doesn't see my sin anymore. Because it was put on him. God the Father sees the righteousness of his Son. You ever think about that? Charity doesn't dwell or meditate upon the evil inflicted on you by another person with the intent to get even. You hear me? Thinketh no evil. It's having no evil intent towards them, even if they've had what? How many times you heard, what do you expect lost people to do? You think they're going to just joy the fact that you're calling them sinners and they're going to a devil's hell without Jesus Christ? They're going to have malice aforethought against you. I have been spit upon. I have been kicked. I have been slapped. I've had urine thrown in my face on a street corner. Singing, what can wash away your sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. After that happened, I want them to be saved, because they know not what they do. Charity thinketh no evil. To be continued next week.